Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, February 26, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 81. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, "Whatever the situation," and ends, "This is the best course of action." Today's readers, and thank you for your service in February. For the 12 steps, Jen P., the 12 traditions, Barbara P., reader number one, the text, Judy N., and page 164, Tamara C. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Karen W., and our second hour host is Christine G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, February 25th, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meetings is 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,194. That's 22194. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,195. That's 22195. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Lisa. This is Jen P. from New Jersey, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that power greater than ours could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. We understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to give this message to positive and honor. Thank you for letting me do so.
Thank you, Jen P. from New Jersey. And I'll now ask Barbara P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Barbara P., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, of Readers Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those that they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personnel. Thanks, and thanks for letting me serve in Feb.
Thank you, Barbara P. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 81, the first paragraph that begins, whatever the situation, and ends, this is the best course of action. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And I'll now ask Judy N. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Judy N., living in recovery one day at a time in Maryland. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. If we are sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. If she knows in a general way that we have been wild, should we tell her in detail? Undoubtedly, we should admit our fault. She may insist on knowing all the particulars. She will want to know who the woman is and where she is. We feel we ought to say to her that we have no right to involve another person. We are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further. Though there may be justifiable exceptions, and though we wish to lay down no rule of any sort, we have often found this the best course to take. Well, this was, when I was first reading it, it was hard for me because I never had an affair on my husband. I never cheated on my husband. And I believe to this day he has never cheated on me. But when I look at it as just that when I do something, I have to make my amends. I have to tell, admit my part totally to my husband or the other person. And sometimes when I do that, my husband will want to know the particulars. If I was out with other friends, for instance, I recall going on a cruise because he doesn't like cruises. And I went with three other women, and those three women were single. And I was the only married woman. So when I got back from the cruise, I told him everything that he asked me about my side of the street, which was fine. I was very open about that. But when he was asking me about my friends and trying to get into their business, I didn't share anything. he didn't have to know that particulars. That wasn't part of anything that I was sharing with him. So I keep in mind today that I'm not going to say anything to anybody anymore that could hurt someone, could slander someone, or hurt their family. The negativity is gone. If I have something to say about someone, it would be positive or understanding. It wouldn't be any connotation of a negativity. There may be exceptions to that, but it would be very extreme. And right now, I don't foresee myself ever being in that situation, because it might involve employment or something like that. I don't know. I can't even think of it, because I strive today to just keep my speech positive when I talk about other people and not get into the gossiping or the rumor mill or anything like that anymore. And I think this is what this is trying to say to us, that when we have to make our amends, we stay on our side of the street, and we don't hurt other people. We don't have to worry about, when I wasn't in recovery, when I was in the disease, I'd be making excuses for myself and blaming other people. And that's kind of how the situation where I grew up. It's, you know, don't admit your fault, get somebody else involved. No, I own what I do. I admit it honestly, and I sincerely apologize, but I don't bring other people involved or share anybody else's business. That's not what I feel God wants me to do. That's not my place.
Time.
And with that, thank you. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Judy N. from Maryland, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Barbara W.
Barbara
Leah
W.
S.
Leah
Jeannie
S.
B.
Jeannie B.
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H. Anybody else?
Mark V.
I have Mark, thanks. Okay, I have Barbara W., Leah S., Jeannie B., Ken W. H., Mark Z., and left hand.
Vasa O.
Gotcha, Vasa. Okay,
thank you.
Great lineup. We will begin with Barbara W., followed by Leah S.
I'm Barbara W., and I'm a compulsive overeater, and they had to be in the meetings. I just want to say that I'm just so happy that I'm learning a lot about myself. I'm learning that to stay on my side of the street. And also, I'm learning to say good things about people. If a person don't understand me, I'll explain to them, and I'll tell them, you know, this and that. It's up to them to accept it. If they don't want to accept it, and if they're mad and bullying me and saying this to me, I have to just back off and let it go. Because nobody is perfect. Like I said, we all are here to learn. I'm here to learn. And it talks about behavior, not just with my food. Now, my food is good. I'm just grateful. I'm losing because I'm not binging, and I'm eating my food, my vegetables, what I should be eating. And matter of fact, it fills you up. So I'm just happy that I have that under control, that I can work my food plan. But I'm just saying, when it's set into action, it talks about other things that we have in action. I'm not married. I'm a single woman. I'm 70 years old, but my family, my granddaughter, my son, and my nieces and my nephews, I see my family a lot now, more this year, last year, than I did ever before, because I'm a recovery alcoholic. I'm not drinking. I'm not compulsively eating. And I'm trying to work the program, and I'm trying to stay positive and stay in my lane, you know. But when somebody tells me that they're going to be doing a reading on a certain day, I have nothing to do with that. I have to look at my life and what I do and be nice and kind to people. You know, that's the part that I have to continue to look at and look at my street and my faults. No one else. I want to share that. And I want to learn, and I'm learning a lot about that in this recovery program. This interaction chapter is a great one, and I just want to get into it more. And thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a good day.
Thank you, Barbara W. And Leah S., you're up, followed by Jeannie B.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. Oh, boy. What is amends? I am here to tell you that I lost weight, and suddenly I was becoming noticeable. And you know how you feel when people stare at you or people look at you? My promiscuous behavior or flirtatious behavior is a behavior that I had not done before. What is an amend? An amend is that I need to admit to myself that this is what I did, and I no longer want to practice that kind of behavior. Or maybe I do want to get that attention, and I do want to practice it. And what makes me know right from wrong? God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and then the wisdom to know what is right and what is wrong. And it's only your will that I want to do, because I'm stepping into dangerous territory. I didn't want to brag about it. I wanted to keep it secret. Once I want to keep something secret, it's no good for me. My consciousness says, nope, nope, this is not something that you want to talk about. This is something that you do not want to behave like. So making that amend, it means that I want to change my behavior, and I can't change anything about myself without actually reviewing that third step and strengthening that muscle and understanding that whatever else I did in my life, this is something that I want to change. And thank you, God, for helping me to do that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. And Jeannie B., you're up, followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Jeannie B. from Florida. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I love this paragraph. I am a marriage and family therapist, and I specialize in infidelity recovery. So this paragraph really hits. And I so appreciate the line that says, though there may be justifiable exceptions and though we wish to lay down no rule of sort. I love that about this book, whether it's page 164 or here. I really love that this book always guides us back to going within and going and having our relationship with God. They are not saying they have all the answers for every situation or that we should take this as any sort of dictate. This is a suggestion. This book is a suggestion only, and I love that. And the humility of we realize we know only a little. So when I see this, I see my side of the street. I see, Jeannie, mind your own business. Mind your business. Mind every bit of my business and take my responsibility, but don't gossip, don't involve, don't be in other people's lane. That's what it means to me. I particularly struggle with gossiping about a few people. Gossiping may not be the right word, but talking about other people, whether it's in telling a story or it's even in trying to find my responsibility, I tend to talk about this couple of people in my life way too much. My frustrations with them, my annoyances with them, and I know that this is what it relates to. This paragraph relates to me in that way. Jeannie, mind your business. Stay on your side of the street. Work on your stuff. And my stuff that I'm focused on right now is staying in my lane, minding my own business, and don't. I'd love to stop whoever, other people who are ahead of me. I'd love to stop all gossiping, all talking about other people. That is my ideal. That is my goal. And I'm definitely not there, not even close. So that's my spiritual focus at this time. Thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Jeannie B. from Florida, and Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Mark Z. Ken, press star one. We can't hear you.
Sorry about that. This is Ken W.H. calling recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I guess the only thing I really want to comment on this is one, two words that are inside of commas, God willing there. If it's wrong, it's wrong, at least in my sight. And if it harms someone else, that's the issue. And although I've not been promiscuous in that sense, I suppose that my mind has been distracted at times by others and others' behaviors, and that has caused some harm in the past. And I guess what I'm really struck by is that I need to do something about that if I've harmed someone, and in this case, my wife. If I've harmed her, I need to make amends for that, and I need to change. And I go to God for the power to do that. And this part where it says we're sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. what happens if it's repeated? Was that God's will? Well, of course, I don't believe that's true. So the blame cannot be that God willed it, and that's why I'm doing it again, so there's no problem here. No, there's still a problem. God does not will that I harm others in any way, shape, or form. So that if I've identified something as being harmful to my wife, I need to be willing to amend that. And that means correct that wrong. And I believe that that's God's will, period. And it shall not be repeated. That only in God's power can I not repeat those old things that were harmful and hurtful to someone else. If it's repeated, it's my fault. I cannot throw the blame on God or anything else. If it's repeated, it's my fault. God wills that I not harm others by my behaviors, and I need to be reminded of that consistently and constantly, because the power of the word that comes out of my mouth is extraordinary, and I think that's true for all of us. So that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me share, and I'm grateful to be here. God bless.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. And Mark Z, you're up, followed by Vasa O.
Oh, okay. This is Mark Z. Am I in the right order now?
Yes, you are. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, boy. Yeah, I haven't been on the meeting for a few days, so I went back a little bit to the previous paragraph to get the context. And, you know, it's talking about these different feelings. And, okay, we're trying to, it looks like maybe we want to assuage these different feelings that happen from disconnect, you know. I think human nature wants to feel valued from other people. We want to feel affirmed. Seen, heard, understood, loved. And when those things aren't happening, maybe, the loneliness, was mentioned. And there's no excitement in our life. And oh yeah, an affair would possibly bring excitement. But now I've had enough life experience to know that our affair partners aren't always in it for good reasons either. And then when the thrill is gone, there's more wreckage to clean up. So yeah, to tell ourselves the truth, you know, and earlier in the big book, it talks about the people that don't recover aren't the, you know, they're not honest with themselves and with maybe with God and others, you know, and that is, I think maybe our root challenge underneath all of this is to keep telling ourselves the truth and keep telling ourselves more and more of the truth, to keep walking through the desert toward God. I heard a really nice metaphor that we go to the gym, but the emotional gym comes to us. We can't avoid it. You know, I've thought about getting a gym membership and I just chose not to, but the emotional gym comes and finds us and kind of grabs onto us and says, you're going to work these emotional muscles and get stronger or find another way to cope with it. So that's, you know, so I want to face into that emotional difficulty and lift those emotional weights with the help of my fellows and my sponsor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark Z. And Vasa O, please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lisa, for your service. And I'm Vasa O, calling from Port Alice, Florida. And yes, taking the inventory that I was asked to. And that's what I did. And I didn't like what I saw in myself. But I remember as a young girl, you know, being a teenager, and I remember craving the attention of men a lot. And yes, I was of a flirtation. I did flirt a lot. Before I got married, when I had a boyfriend that went in the service, my husband is, that I, you know, I cheated with him, you know, like, you know, cheating, not having sex with somebody, just cheating, being, you know, with another person. I never told my husband about any of these things, you know, before marriage or after marriage. And I was, why would I want to tell him? That's going to hurt him, you know. But also was hurting myself, too, what I was doing. When I lost the weight, when I was becoming to be really, really overweight, the flirtation stopped because I'm, who would want me, you know, the fat I am or ugly I am. And but once I came to OA, you know, I took the weight care more, it's by the grace of God, with the 6 months in my program. And God was helping me to do what I could never do before. And the flirtation became even more powerful because I met men in the program. There's not very men in program in OA, but I remember getting all this attention, and it felt so wonderful that I had looked for my husband. And my husband is very loving, very caring, but he doesn't compliment me about things, and I crave that. So, yes, I did flirt with men. And, God started doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, you know. And that had to stop, you know. I didn't want to stop it because I liked the attention. But I also heard a woman in the program, was very new, came to OA, and her husband, the nun was working, the steps and everything, he went to her and he confessed. He made amends to her what he had been doing over the years, and she was so mad, and it came to a divorce. So whatever I do, whatever I did, I go to my sponsor. I went to therapy, worked on myself, you know, and those behaviors stopped. Not that I wanted to stop them. It's by the grace of God. He removed them to me. I had no more intentions to look at other men. I love men. They're wonderful. but I was looking at them for wrong reason, for them to love me. My husband loved me, and I've been married to the same person for 57 years old. What I was looking from him was wrong, you know, for him to give me. It was wrong. I started looking at signs, and thank you. Thank you for letting me share that pass.
Thank you, Vasa O. And we are on page 81 in the chapter Into Action. We have read and we are commenting on the first paragraph that begins, whatever the situation, and ends, this is the best course to take. Who else would like to share this morning?
Blanca BG,
Michelle
from Central
M.
Florida.
Blanca BG, Michelle M. Who else? Anybody else want to share? Okay, we'll go with Blanca BG, followed by Michelle M. Blanca BG, please share with us.
Good morning, moderator, brothers and sisters in the program. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This paragraph is tough. You know, it's tough. And for me, but it's also amazing because it proves that no matter what we've done, once again, we can start anew, we can make amends. On the subject of relationships, all I can say is I didn't have partners, I didn't have boyfriends or lovers, whatever, I had prisoners. You know, I'm just going to be honest, I mean, what I put them in my life, including my husband through, I look back and I'm just, oh my God, it's hard. It's hard to look at my behavior. And that's all I can think of. I had hostages, you know, and it was just relationships clearly were a disaster. None of them worked out because I didn't know how to love and cherish another human being. I had nothing to go on. And as far as I got married, I had no business getting married because I wasn't well. I was not well. I was so broken, but I did. And you can just imagine what my husband went through. I never made a direct amend to my husband as far as my infidelities and what was going on with me because I just couldn't. Do it and watch his face, you know, collapse. I couldn't do it. And then it says, I remember it said, if it's to hurt them or others, it would have devastated him and other people in my life that I would have just destroyed. Of course, it would destroy anyone. Finding out that someone you love has betrayed you. But fast forward, my husband passed away 10 years ago, and it was I talked to a sponsor, and through a sponsor, I've been working on that, and I have not have and will not have any more relationships. I stopped altogether until I am well enough, until I am healed enough where I can have a healthy, beautiful adult relationship. And will I ever get there? I may stay alone, and that's all right because I have this program and I will continue the process of healing myself. And should that day come where I'm able to have a beautiful, healthy relationship with another human being, of course I would love that. But in the meantime, I continue to get better, to pray that I get better and heal every day. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Blanca BG from Florida. And Michelle M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Michelle M., recovered in Oklahoma. There is so much that I could talk about on this topic, but I'm really thinking the underlying overarching, was that I was so easily recruitable for gossip. And because my self-loathing was so intense that I would gravitate to anything or anyone where I could A, be a part of, and B, feel better. And I did that, and that really has driven that underlying fear for me is scarcity. That if I don't take the opportunity, it will never come again. If I don't get into this relationship, I'll never get the opportunity again. And then I started this habit of back and forth and back and forth, and it was just like these mini relapses. And I had to get out of the food chain because I was destroying myself, and this wasn't anything that I consciously set out to do. I saw my parents do it. But the whole thing about gossip is that it's just that need to be a part of, and that thick, approval can be a drug of choice. And what I'm recognizing today is that I because of recovery, I don't gravitate to those people. I don't gravitate to people who gossip because I literally feel my body reacting to it. And I know when it's time to stop. And when I get into that, my body will tell me, okay, this is you really starting to get into gossip. And that's when I have to stop. And I was talking to somebody the other day and that came up. Because gossip is opinions, and the big book is about facts. Not opinions, and it says that a lot. And what I have had to do, and so I need to set a boundary with myself, and I need to set a boundary with others. And when that situation comes up, my family operates off the gossip network. I call my mom to ask how she is, and I hear about everybody in our family. But what I've learned is I can say, I'm really working on focusing on the present moment and being with the people who were with me, and I just don't like to talk about people when they're not here. That might not be the exact phrase, but what I'm doing is setting a boundary with myself and setting a boundary with other people that, I'm not going to do that today. And it works. It's uncomfortable, but it works. So with that, I pass.
Thank you. Perfect timing, Michelle M. And again, we're on page 81. We have read and are commenting on the first paragraph that begins whatever the situation and ends, this is the best course to take. We have lots of time. Who else would like to share?
I'd like to share just a little. Shelly from Minnesota.
All right, Shelly. I need to get the first initial of your last name.
B.
B as in boy or V as in victim?
Yeah. No, B as in boy.
Okay. Anybody else? There must be hundreds of people on the line, and step right up.
I'll jump in. This is Bonnie B. from Florida, since it's so quiet.
Thanks, Bonnie. We have Shelly B. and Bonnie B. Anybody else?
Russ M.
Thank you, Russ. I was thinking I'm going to be like the teacher and start calling on people. I'm just kidding. I have Shelly B. and Bonnie B. and Russ M. Anybody else?
Joni Y. from Connecticut.
Joni Why? All right. We will go with that lineup. Shelly B., you're up, followed by Bobby.
This is Shelly.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Shelly B. Yeah, I thought about a lot of things everybody's been sharing that occurred to me, too. Gossiping, I never did a lot of it. Usually I'm the opposite. I stick up for the person that's being gossiped about. But this thing about giving my own opinion too much, I don't like. I heard a preacher years ago say, don't always give your opinion, and that's something I want to do better at as far as fooling around. Yeah, in my 30s and 20s, I did fool around a lot. And it was destructive for my thinking and me, and I didn't turn to my women for not just getting sharing my situation, but getting to know them. I was horrible getting to know people getting up. I had a wall between them. But now, first I've had a lot of therapy, and I have a very good therapist now. She said, when I try to protect people that don't want to be protected from bullying, some do and some don't, most don't that I've done it with, stay in your bubble, Shelly. Everybody has a bubble. And I have been in a destructive relationship that goes on and off. And this person I love deeply is relative. So I have told people about it. And it has affected me in an adverse way. So I put my phone on block. And actually have to do that. I don't talk to this person. But at the end of the day, we have a decent conversation. So that's what I'm doing. And staying in my bubble more. Instead, every time I have a bad conversation with someone, calling them up to apologize, they always say, they're all right. Not apologize, but to see how they are. Guys, staying on my own side of the street and not giving out my opinion so darn much, just asking curious questions. Growing up, I never did because I was afraid because of my disease, whatever you want to call it, schizoaffective. And I'm going to be doing that. I'm 71. I have some I have memory loss, but I appreciate everybody, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shelly B. from Minnesota. And Bonnie B., you're up, followed by Russ M.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, thanks for moderating, and thanks for the beautiful shares. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God, living in the state of Florida today. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. This was my MO, like movement. Fast. And that's not my MO anymore. I pause, I pray, I follow after peace. When the food is down, it's incredibly obvious to me as to whether or not God is in a situation. Used to be like monkeys on crack. It was in my head. I just had to like spit it out. And now I listen. I listen. I pause, I listen, I'm still. Sometimes I do nothing. Sometimes, most often, I say nothing. We had 5 of our 6 married children here for the last 5 days, and they all flew out yesterday without spouses, without grandkids, and without fiancés. It was amazing. It was 38 down to 23. I listened a lot. I paused a lot. I've made amends to all of my kids for, different things as they were growing up. But in this situation, so often I'm in a backdrop. I don't have to be part of the fill in the blank because my wholeness doesn't come from another group of people. On a daily basis, I connect to my Creator. Every single thing that I'm supposed to say throughout the course of the day, He's going to give me a piece about saying. And more often, it's less and not more. But if I'm supposed to make an amends, if I'm supposed to, and lots of times for me, it's a living amends. It's like, it's what we've been talking about, right? Gossip. How interesting is that? It doesn't even have to be gossip that I speak out. It can be gossip in my head. I do want to be in the know. Why? Because it makes me feel like I'm part of a group. Well, that's been my problem my whole life. I haven't felt like I'm part of a group. But I am part of a group. I'm one of God's kids. And the greatest gift I can give to anyone today is to live recovered and to live in that state of peace. And for me, that state of peace is always going to be take a step back. Because my God lives in the pause. And he lives in that present moment. The present moment is always going to be where his presence is at. And less is way more for me at this stage in my life. And I'm grateful for the gift of this program because I came in with a relationship with my Creator. I did not know how to navigate so much of this. I wanted to. I just didn't know what to do with it. Now I know what to do with it. When it presents itself as it does, I know what to do with it. And so I think that's what I wanted to share. Thanks again, everyone. Blessings to all of you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. And Russ M., you're up, followed by Joni Y.
Good morning. Appreciate it. Russ M., recovering compulsive overeater outside of Philly. This whole chapter with the amends, this part of the chapter, you know, it doesn't like jive with my nature because I'm very impulsive. I'm ready to just bang it out, get it done so I could be happy, so I could be free. So me. But I've learned the hard way with amends that, you know, they have to be prayerfully thought out. Well, at least for me, because I'm meds and meds, like I'm crazy a little bit. And I have unrealistic expectations. So I work with my sponsor on them. We did, you know, and I had to pray about it. I really had to pray about it because, we're hammering home that you come in there, you're doing it for yourself, but you destroy the family in the process. Like, it's very touchy. It's not about trying to get out of doing it. It's about, what would you say, sparing people that have nothing to do with the deal. Just so you can feel better. It's got to be well thought out. When it comes to this adultery and mistress, I never had the luxury of that, to be honest with you, which I never wanted anyway. I forget what I was going to say. It's probably not that important. You know, you got to be straight and not get into that. I can't get into that. And, you know, if I'm going to destroy my marriage just to make myself happy or free, feel so-called free, you know, what's the use of even doing it? All these things got to be prayerfully thought out. And you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan with it because I just can't go in there like gangbusters like I like to do it because that gives me control. It makes me feel like a real man, like, you know, I did it myself. But that's not how the book states it. And, you know, I want to be free for the long term, not for 15, 20 minutes. And get into other trouble. But, I think that's the gist of it. I forgot what I was going to say with the other part, but it's not that important then. All right, love yous. Have a great day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Russ M. from Pennsylvania. And Joni Y., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Joni Y., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And I wanted to share today, yesterday was 2 years that I started listening to Vision for You and 2 years ago exactly. I wish I could say the white light experience where everything just got all sorted out right overnight, but that's hasn't been the case for me. But one thing that has changed so when I first started, I started the program in when I was in college in 1984, and have been in and out. The Vision has been the first time where I've gone every day, and you've all taught me so much and brought so many blessings. but one thing was when I first started amends, I made amends to everybody. Anybody that walked in the door, I was like, do you remember when I looked sideways at you and I'm doing this and I'm blah, 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 and I'm so sorry I did that. And then I realized that that's not really how it works. My sponsor and I worked through that. And then there were the amends that really the question here is, should we tell her? And those were the really tough ones. And I realized after prayer and planning and thinking it through, I would hurt so many people that I love. And so this is really between myself and my higher power. And forgiving myself has been so hard, and I'm working on it. But the other thing I wanted to share was, in my family, I grew up on a winery and in a restaurant, and gossip was our currency. I literally would come into our house and hope I had a juicy one to share with my parents, because that always made them so happy. And we would, as a family, I grew up in a very loving family, but boy, were we we were an alcoholic bunch. And so it took a while to realize that gossip and love and friendship and acceptance doesn't really work that way. And boy, has it been freeing. I really have cut the gossip pretty much out. And when I do find myself gossiping, it really feels yucky. And that's thank you to all of you for teaching me how to work this program. So with that, I pass. I hope you have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Joni Y. And it looks like we have time for one or two more shares. Anyone else like to share on the first paragraph? Beg your pardon?
Ginger C.
Ginger C.
Tamara C.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take Ginger C and Tamara C. If you'll both take 2 minutes, we'll be good to go. Ginger, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you. Ginger C. in Colorado, a real compulsive overeater. And just love this work that we're doing, because it gets quiet because we got to play our part, our bullshit. I had a part that I played. And how free do I want to be? To dismiss this work is to dismiss God's perfect creation of me, good and bad. I am not just this perfect person that's going to share a great God message every time. I do bad things. And I got to look at it and I got to own it. And then God, help me to make it right. Help me to show up in a better way, because I can't do it without God. I don't have it. So God, mold and shape this heart to keep it soft and open to your world and to your people. So let me be a better example of these principles. You know, and it's just a day at a time. And thank God we just keep coming back. And we stay, and we keep practicing. I just had my sister's funeral on Saturday. And I can't even tell you the love that was in the room. And one of the most incredible pieces to this part, this one person who really made such a difference for all these broken hearts, was a stepsister that I haven't seen for 30-plus years. But because of recovery and because of this work, I asked her to come, and she felt trust and faith, and she showed up to a really broken system with a lot of pain from the past. And today it was about forgiveness, the ultimate, ultimate way that we show love. And it was so tremendously beautiful. So I am so grateful to keep practicing this, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. from Colorado. And Tamara C., can you take a one-minute share?
Sure, thank you. This is Tamara C., compulsive overeater recovered in Missouri. And this line, we usually have something about it. So I don't have experience with this particular kind of harm towards my husband, but I have plenty of experience with harm in many other ways. And he does deserve that I make amends for the harm that I've done. I do need to do something about it. And I have learned that it really helps me to weigh the possibility of doing more harm with the amends that I make. And it just has helped me to counsel with my sponsor. And I've tried to make amends to him and then checked it with my sponsor, got some good feedback, and went and tried to do a better try. And his response was letting me know that it was better. So I just am reminding myself and all of us to do this prayerfully and with counsel of other recovered people. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Tamara C. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, February 25th, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,197. That's 22197. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Tamara C., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.